Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsiya Daf Lamed Beis. We left off on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. We are at the two dots on the first wide line on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Aliyah Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, and Shem Shav and Aliyah. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And also by Rabbi Bruckheimer in honor of the recent birth of a great granddaughter to Avital and Eli Pressburger of Karmei Gat. Mazel Tov to the Bruckheimer and Pressburger families. They should have much nachas. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to talk about today is we had mentioned in the Mishnah that there's this concept of poel batel, that if a person is going to be taking off from work in order to be meshev aveda, so he's entitled to some sort of compensation. So how exactly do we calculate that compensation that he's entitled to? Then the Gemara is going to discuss when is it that one requires a Beis Din versus when is it that we only require two Edim in order to make a Tanai that you're going to be entitled to payment. Are they going to be entitled to repayment for something? That's going to bring us to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amid Aleph is going to discuss when a cow is found in a variety of places, if it's also going to discuss what happens if a father says not to do some sort of mitzvah, and some details of prika uti'ina. So the Mishnah is going to have a variety of different cases. The Gemara is going to talk about what kind of refes do you not have to return a cow from? Because the Mishnah speaks about finding a cow in a refes bakar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what the chiddush is not to listen to a father who says not to do Hashavas Aveda. Of course you don't listen to a father who tells you not to fulfill mitzvos HaTorah. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the chiddush of that line might be. And then the bulk of the daf is going to get into the issue of whether Tzar Balei Chayim is Da'oraisa or Derabbanan. So that sugya of Tzar Balei Chayim begins on Lamed Beis Amud Beis and goes into the next daf and Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph as well, whether Tzar Balei Chayim is Da'oraisa or Derabbanan. And the gateway into that discussion is the mitzvahs of Priko Uti'ina, which clearly, as we discussed yesterday, relate at least somewhat to Tzar Balei Chayim. So let's begin at the two dots on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So that if a person says a person is going to have to take off from work in order to be meshev aveda and he's going to lose out on a sella worth of profit that he could have made, he cannot demand that he's entitled to a sella. Rather, he's going to get paid like a poel batel. So Tana, the Brice explains, that the schar that he gets is like how much a poel is willing to diminish from his own schar in order to take a day off from work. So says Gemara, Mike a poel batel. Why does he take like a poel batel? He's not a poel batel. He's not doing nothing. He's doing a Hashavas Aveda. He's not being mevatel mimalacha entirely. He's still active. So says Gemara, Amar Abai, you know what it means to say is kapal batel shos malach de batel mina. Meaning we try to figure out how much a person is willing to diminish from his own wages in order to be engaged in a much easier type of work rather than the type of work that he normally engages in, which is more challenging. So that discrepancy between his normal work versus the very minimal work that it takes to pick up an Aveda, how much he'd be willing to take to be able to have that much less work, that's how much he's going to get paid as a Meshav Aveda. So Yesham Bezdin Masim Ephraim. Then the Mishnah said, but if there's a Bezdin, you can make a Tanai in front of the Bezdin that you'll be entitled to your full wages. So Isav Rav Safra Ovid Iska Bade Adadi. Isav Rav Safra had a business together. They had some schora that they were partners in together. Azal Rav Safra Upalaglei below Daite Di Isur. Then Rav Safra went and he took his chelek out of the shutvas without informing Isur of what he was doing. And he did it Ba'api Beitrei in front of two people. He said, you know what, I'm buying myself out. I'm going to sell my portion out of the shutvas, out of the schora, without ever informing his partner. So also the Kamei, the Rav Barafuna, Rav Safra came in front of Rav Barafuna Rav Huna Amalei. So Rav Huna said, Zil Aiti Tlasa De Plak De Kamei. Let me see the Beis Din. Let me see the three people that you were Mechalik the Shutfus among. Because if you're going to dissolve the Shutfus, clearly you must have done it in front of a Beis Din that has the authority to do such a thing. Inami. Okay, maybe you don't have a Beis Din, but bring Tremigo Tlasa, two of the three people that you were Mechalik in front of, and they'll be made that there was a Beis Din, that there was a third guy. So at least we'll know that there was a Beis Din. V'inami, or at least Trey Sadi Tapalakta Ba'ape Beit Lasa, two witnesses that saw you dissolve the Shutfus in front of a Beis Din. Meaning, bottom line is, he's telling him, you needed to have a Beis Din. So either bring me the Beis Din, bring me two members of the Beis Din, or bring me two witnesses that there was a Beis Din, but there had to be a Beis Din. So I'm late, Rav Safra asked Rav Barafuna, Minalacha, where do you get this din that the Chalukah of a Shutfus has to be done in front of a Beis Din? So I'm late, Rav Barafuna says, what do you mean, where do I get it from? Ditanan, our Mishnah, Im Yeshom Beis Din Masna Bifneim, that if there's a Beis Din, you make it tonight in front of them. Ain't some Beis Din b'fnei miyasne shelo kodem. But without a Beis Din, there's no tonight that you can make, and therefore you just don't do Hashavas Aveda. But there's no way you can get reimbursed for your Hashavas Aveda if you don't have a Beis Din. So you see that you can't take money from one person and give it to another person with less than three people, with less than a Beis Din. So just like the Motze wants to take money for the Hashavas Aveda, and he needs to do so in order to work out that arrangement, he needs to do so in front of Beis Din. So when one Shutav wants to take his chelik of the shutvas, he needs to do so in front of a Beis Din. So Amalei Rav Safra said, no, me dummy, how can you compare the case of Hashavas Aveda to my situation? Hasam demabek mamon mehai most of the high. Over there you're being motzi mamon from one person, from the Bala Veda, and you're giving it to the motzi, you're giving it to the guy who found the Aveda, Bein and Beis Din. Yeah, for that you need a Beis Din. You're taking money from one party and giving it to another. Aval hacha, but over here, we're dissolving a shutvas. I'm not taking any of his money. Didei shakli. He's taking his own money. You don't need a koach of a Beis Din to do such a thing. Gilui milsa bialmu. It's just a gilui milsa that everyone should be able to be made that the chalukah was done evenly. So betray sagile. As long as you have edus that it was done properly, that it was done evenly, that's good enough. You don't need a Beis Din. So teidan, I'll bring you a raya. Ditznan, because the Mishnah says in Maseches Ksuvus that almana mocheresh shalom b'nei Beis Din, that an almana who's being supported from the nechasim of the Yisomim can sell the Nichse Yisomim not in front of a Beis Din, in front of Shnei Edim, that they will be enough to be a Gili Milsa, so that the Yisomim will know that she got a good price, that if they're obligated to support her, and she's selling off some of their stuff so that they can support her to make sure that she got a decent price for it. So all you need is two Edim. So Chalukas HaShutfus is more similar to that you're taking what you're actually entitled to, and since you're taking what you're actually entitled to, you just need to make sure that it was done fairly, and two edim is enough to make sure it was done fairly. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says back to Rav Safra, V'lav mi'itmar Allah. But didn't we say about that Mishnah that Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menuhmi, Amar Rav Nachman, Almanei Netzricha Beizin Shal Mumchin, Aval Tzricha Beizin Shal Hadyotos? What do you mean? Even in that case, we required a Beizin. It wasn't enough to have two edim. You didn't need a Beizin of Mumchin. You know, this is not a case of the most serious case where you would need mumchin, but yeah, at least you need a basin of hediotos. So by shutfas also, I may not need a basin of mumchin, but at the very least, it's going to require a basin of hediotos, and therefore that mishnah of the almana is not going to be a raya. The Ramban writes over here, what does the term mumchin mean? He says it does not mean smuchim. Hediotos are bikiim, and then hediotos would if meant smuchim, then hediotos would be bikiim that are not smuchim. He says because any dine mamlas doesn't require smuchim. Even a grusha that sells nechasim doesn't need to sell in front of a basin of smuchim. Mumchim means dayanim that are dan dinei mamonis, that one of them is gomer dina and shnayim are misbri luhu v'savri, that one of them has experience with dinei mamonis and the other two chap. The other two that if you explain to them, they could explain, they could have good svaras, they could be able to understand things. Hediotos means hediotos, meaning that they don't know, all they can do is assess the value of something, but they have no actual experience or knowledge in Dine Mamnes. That's what the Ramban writes, that sometimes in Shas when we say the word Mumchin, we actually mean Smuchin, which is what you need in order to be able to be a basin that gives Malkus and Misa, things like that, that you would need Smicha for, but over here Mumchin doesn't mean that, it just means people who have expertise in Dine Mamnes. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Mitzah Berefes, a person finds a cow in a Refes, it's not being being so protected, and there's a fence, but the door is not locked. So in chayevba, you don't have to do hashavas aveda. But if you find it just wandering bereshus rabim, chayevba, then you have to do hashavas aveda. V'imaisa beis hakvaros lo yitamila. And if it happens to be in a beis hakvaros, then you shouldn't go into the beis hakvaros to return it if you're a kohen, because it's also for a kohen to be mitamila mesim. Meaning, generally speaking, asay dochalos asay. So really, the mitzvah asay of hashavas aveda, where it says hashev to shivim lachicha, should be docha the lav of tumas kohanim. But the gemara said that Tumas Kohen is not just a los asay, it's a los asay ve'asay. There's a los asay of lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav, and there's an asay of kedoshim yiyu. And therefore, the asay of Hashavas Aveda is not going to be docha, the los asay and asay of Tumas Kohanim. Right? So therefore, the Kohen is not allowed to be metame himself in order to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, because ein asay docha, los asay ve'asay. The question that the Achronim deal with, Minchas Chinuch has a diyun, when we say ein asay docha, los asay ve'asay, what are the mechanics of that? Is it that really an assay, when you have an assay versus a los assay v'assay, the assay is docha the los assay, so that los assay is knocked out, but you're still left with the assay on the other side. So the assay of Hashavas Aveda really is docha the los assay of Tumas Kohanim, but he's still in violation of the assay of Tumas Kohanim, and that's why you can't do it. Or is it that no, once you have a din of Tumas Kohanim that's backed, that has the strength of both an assay and a los assay, that reflects that it's such a strong din that no assay could be docha even the los assay of Tumas Kohanim, because it's a stronger los assay. Nafkamina would be, what if you made the wrong choice? You did it, right? So now, would you get malchus? Have you violated the los assay? So if you assume the assay was in fact docha the los assay, and you're only left with the assay, so there's no malchus. But if you assume that no, the los assay is still intact because it's such a strong los assay, well then there would be a chiyuv malchus in such cases. So anyway, you're not supposed to be mitame yourself if you're going to do Hashavas Aveda. Imamarlo aviv hitame. If a guy's father tells him go be mitame yourself to do Hashavas Aveda, osher amarlo al tachzir, or non-Kohen, regular case, a father tells a son, don't do Hashavas Aveda, don't give yourself a headache, you have enough on your plate, so lo yishmelo, you don't listen to a parent who tells you not to do a mitzvah. Parak vitan, apilu arba v'chamisha pamim, if a person help someone with priko, ti'ina, loading, unloading an animal, even 4 or 5 times, chayim, you gotta keep doing it. Shenemar, azov tazov. That's what we learned yesterday, the double lashonos. That was the whole yesterday's daf, was double lashonos of psukim. So azov tazov is a double expression to tell me, afilu mea pa'amim, you have a mitzvah of priko, ti'ina. Halach v'yashav lo va'amar, if the Baal HaBehema says to the guy who's helping him, look, hol v'alecha mitzvah, ritzon kalifrok prok, I'm not gonna bother myself because you have a mitzvah to help me anyway, so why don't you do it? So you'll do it, and I'll sit here on the side, and I'll sip my pina colada or whatever while you're working hard, loading or unloading my animal. So then potter, then you don't have to help him. Shnemar imo, it says with him, so it sounds like only if he's helping out. But if there's a reason why he's not helping out, he's an old person, he's a chola, he's not physically capable of helping out, then you're still chayiv in the mitzvah. Mitzvah min haTorah lifrok, aval lo liton. Rabbi Shimon omer af liton. Then another din, there's a mitzvah min haTorah to load the bundle on and to unload the animal, but not to load the animal up. Rabbi Shimon says no in both directions. So the Gemara is going to explain, they're not really arguing whether there's a mitzvah of prika and ti'ina. Everyone agrees there's both a mitzvah of prika and ti'ina. The machlokas is if there's a mitzvah of doing ti'ina b'chinam, or only if you get paid for it. That's what we see is the machlokas really over here. So it's a little misleading. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, im hayolav Yisrael Masov, the donkey has more than a normal burden that he can handle, ein zakuklo, then you don't have to help out. Shenemar, because the pasuk says tachas masa'o. It says kisira chamor sonacha roveitz tachas masa'o. So it sounds like masa'o, a burden that's ra'ui for him, masa'i sheyochal amalbo, a burden that he can normally handle. So then you have to help out. You have to be porik that masa from the chamor. But if the chamor has a masa that he's not able to stand under, you don't have to help out the bailum to be porik that masa from. The bailum never should have put such a masa on the behema. Okay, so now the Gemara explains the first line in the Mishnah where he said that if you find it in the refes, so in the refes there's no mitzvah
of a Shavas Aveda. So Amar Rava Refes Sha'amru, in our Mishnah we say that if you find a behema in a Refes that you're not chayiv in a Shavas Aveda, is Eina Mas'e. It's talking about a Refes that does not cause the behema to leave. It's that there's a little bit of what to graze in and what to eat from that refes, so it's not going to be forced out. Ve'ena mishameres, but it also is not fully protective of the animal, meaning the door isn't locked, so it has a way out. So ena masam mitzani and chayiv ba. How do I know that there's what to eat there? Because the it says in the Mishnah you're not chayiv in a shavas aveda. So it's muchach that we're talking about a refes that's ena masa, because if we're talking about a refes that was masa, so then we would ask why would you not be chayiv in a shavas aveda? The animal's going to die. Ve'ena mishameres, and we say that it must not be fully mishameres from the fact that I need a mishnah to tell me that you're not chayiv in a shavas aveda. If it's fully locked and it's protected and it's there, of course you're chayiv in a shavas aveda. It's a fully protected situation. Meaning it's always this delicate balance by a shavas aveda. When do you assume, and this is what these mishnayos are dealing with and are struggling with, when do you assume that probably the best thing to do is just leave it there? The owner will come back, he knows where it is, he'll find it and he'll be able to, or he has an idea where it is and it's somewhat protected. And when do you assume that no, the best chance is to do a Shavas Aveda? I just got a Shaila last night. Someone told me they were walking down Central Avenue, and on Central Avenue, Lawrence Avenue, they saw a child's shoe. And they decided not to pick it up. Probably the mother would come back. Whoever dropped it would know where she was walking, will come back to pick it up. And then later in the day, he was feeling a little guilty. Maybe I should have picked it up. So he walked back, and the shoe was gone. And now there was a glove, an adult glove. So he decided to pick up that glove. Now he's thinking, did I do the wrong thing? He put it on all the what I he said. How am I machriz? Where am I going to be machriz? I said WhatsApp chats. That's how you're machriz nowadays. So I said, send a picture of the glove. He said, how can I send a picture of the glove? I do that, then the guy's not going to be able to give a simon because I already showed it to him. I said, he has the biggest simon in the world. The other glove, you know, that's all he. So. But he said he's not sure. Like maybe the better thing would have been to leave that glove there, just like he left the shoe there. And Mistama, the mother came to pick up the shoe, right? Meaning, what ganav is going to want to pick up one glove, right? What ganav is going to want to pick up one shoe? So I don't know. It's a difficult shaila of when to make that call. That it's better off to leave it there. Anyway, these talkatay people ask way more hashavas aveda shailas when Daf Yomi is learning elamitzias than the other 7.5 years of it. All right, the isal kadaitach mishameres. If we're going to assume that it's talking about a refes that's mishameres, hashem echshach sabroi ma'elo legavoi. Now the din is, if you find a behema that's on the derech, you bring it into a refes like this, and that's how you do hashavas aveda. So mishkach lemigavoi mibayi. So if you find it in a place where you would have done the hashavas aveda too, so of course you don't have to do hashavas aveda. El shmamina in a mishameres. Must be that it's not mishameres shmamina, and that's the raya that it must not be a fully protected area where you find where the Mishnah is talking about you found the animal. Matzah b'Revus Einu Chayev. We said, if you find it in the Revus, you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, V'hu Sha'omedes Toch L'Tchum. That's talking about that this Revus is in the Tchum of the city, and therefore you don't have to return it. Michlal, from Rabbi Yitzchak we learned, the Rishos HaRabim, that it's Dafka, if the part is Omed in the Rishos HaRabim, you don't have to return it. But if it's Omed in a Dafka, if the para is Omedes in a Revus, you don't have to return it rather. But if it were omed in a Rishus HaRabim va'afilu b'toch ha-tchum, even if the Rishus HaRabim is in the tchum, nami chayiv, you'd still be chayiv in Hashavas Aveda, meaning a refes within the tchum, you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda. But a Rishus HaRabim, even within the tchum, you do have to do Hashavas Aveda. Ika demasin la asefa. Some learn the din of Rabbi Yitzchak in relation to the seifa, but Rishus HaRabim chayiv ba, that if you find in Rishus HaRabim, you have to do Hashavas Aveda. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak v'usham edzchutz l'tchum, that in Rishus HaRabim, you only have to do Hashavas Aveda if it's outside the tchum. So then the diuk becomes mechal de berefes afilu ametz tochet afilu ametz chutz l'tchum nami eino chayiv ba, that if it's in a refes, even if it's outside of the tchum, you still don't have a chiyuv hashavas aveda because it's protected enough in the refes, even though it's beyond the tchum, that you don't have to do hashavas aveda. So to the shonos of Rabbi Yitzchak, then the Mishnah said beveis hakvaros lo yitamila, that if you're a kohen, you don't have to go into a beis hakvaros in order to do hashavas aveda, and if your father tells you do it anyway, don't
don't listen to him. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Brisa that tells us as follows: Minayin Shemamar Lo Aviv He Tame. If a father tells his son who's a Kohen, go be Metame to Mesim in order to be Meshav Aveda, Osha Amar Lo Al Tachzir, or he tells him, do not return the Aveda that's in a place where you're allowed to go to return an Aveda. Shalo Yishmalo. How do I know that you should not listen to the father? You should do the mitzvah Hashem and not listen to the parents. Shenemar Ish Imo Vaviv Tirou Veshob Sosai Tishmaru Ani Hashem. That we darshan kulchem chayav mikvodi. That even though you have to have a kibud aveim and mora aveim, but everyone's chayav in the kavod hamakom. So when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, a parent cannot tell a child not to do a mitzvah. So time of the kasher rachmana, the reason we don't allow this person to listen to his father to refrain from a shabbos aveda is because the pasuk says veshob sosai tishmaru. So medayik it's dafka because of that pasuk that he has to be meshuv the aveda halav hachi. But without the limit from the pasuk avamin etzaisalei, I would assume that you would listen to the father, and you would not return the Aveda, because Kibud Av is a mitzvah sasei, Kabeid HaSavicha V'Simechim is sasei, so I would assume that it's docha the asei of HaShavos Aveda of Shev Toshivim. But Vamai, why would it be that without that pasuk, I would assume you'd be potter from HaShavos Aveda? Hai asei. By los asay ve asay, kibud aveim is a mitzvah say, but a shavas aveda is a los asay and asay. Yes, it's a shev toshivim, but it's also losucha lesalim. V'lo asay asay v'dachis los asay ve asay. And the rule is that a mitzvah say is not going to be docha a lav v'asay. So why is it that we need the limud from the pasuk of shavas osay tishmaru to teach me that it's usher to be shomea la'aviv and they have to be meshiv the aveda? Meaning we're not asking on the din over here. We're asking on, isn't this din obvious enough that we shouldn't need a pasuk? That of course you don't listen to a parent on such a case. So says Mar Itzrich, no, we need the pasuk to tell me that you chayev to be meshiv the aveda, because without the pasuk salka daitachamina, the assumption would have been hol v'ukish kibud aveim l'kvod shel makom, that since there's a comparison, there's a link between kibud aveim versus and kavod hamakom shenemar kan, because it says by kibud aveim kabed esavicha vesimecha v'nemar la'alon, and it says by kavod Hashem kabed esashem mehonech. So hilchach letzayis, they have a thing to listen to the father, even when he tells you to violate an iser. So kamash v'landa lo lishmalei. That's why it tells me that no, you're not supposed to listen to a father when he tells you that you're supposed to that you should go and violate an iser. So the Darkei Moshe writes in the name of the Ma'arik, Darkei Moshe in Yaradei and hilchus kibud aveim, that a ben is not chayiv to mechabed es aviv unless it's something that's shayich to the father, like ma'achilo mashkeu, but something that's not shayich to the father. It's pashut that the father has no right to be mocha in his son, to say, you know, I really think you should only wear red shirts. And the son is like, I don't like wearing red shirts, I like wearing white. I mean, so that has no shaychus to the father, it has no connection to the father at all, that there's no chiyuv kibud aveim in such a case. However, the Chazon Ish writes, based on the Rishonim in our sugya, that there's a difference between that which the father doesn't want you to do, stam, and versus that which the father will really be pained by the fact that that you're not listening to him. Meaning something that the father really has no rutzon in one way or the other. He's just trying to flex his muscles. I can make you live your life the way I want you to live your life. That's that you have no din of kibud aveim. Versus something that really is going to make the father lose sleep over it. He's really going to, even though it's not directly servicing the father. In Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozner was asked, someone whose parents, Rav Ozner has a tshuva, in Chelik Yud, Simon Kuf Nun Vav, someone's parents told him, I don't want you drinking coffee. So do you have to listen to a father who says, I don't want you drinking coffee? So he says, it really depends. He says, if the kavan of the father is, I don't want you drinking coffee because I think it's really unhealthy and I've done research and I know how addictive caffeine could be and I know whatever, and I think you're not going to get a good night's sleep if you don't, whatever his concerns are, then probably you should listen to him because it's really going to cause him a lot of distress. Where if Stam, if he's just being difficult, so then you probably don't have to listen to him. I got a shayla recently, someone told me that they matched to be a kidney donor for somebody, and their parents said, absolutely not, we're never going to sleep at night, we're never going to be mochel you as long as you live if you do this, and you know, like, absolutely. So on the one hand, that's real tzar that the parents are saying that they're going to have. So l'chora, that would be something that would fit the Chazon Ish's purview of kibud aveim. On the other hand, it's also the parents telling you not to do a mitzvah, but it's an interesting mitzvah because it's a mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv. So what about that? What if a parent tells you not to do something that's a mitzvah, But it's a mitzvah that you're not mechuyev. The guy wasn't really asking the shaili. He was donating his kidney, and he's assuming his parents will forgive him, which they will. But anyway, that was the shaila. So okay, so says Gemara Vayta. Now mitzvah min haTorah lifrok avalo liton. If there's a mitzvah min haTorah to be porik, but not to be toy in the animal. So says Gemara, my avalo liton. What does that mean? Avalo liton im avalo liton klal. It means that there's no mitzvah of tiina whatsoever. Well, maishna prika. They're both psukim in the Torah. One's in Mishpat and one's in Kiseta, but they're both psukim in the Torah. So what do you mean that there's one's a mitzvah, the other one's not a mitzvah? Ella mitzvah in the Torah lifrok bechinam. The mitzvah in the Torah is to do it for free, to do prika for free. Velo liton bechinam, but you don't have to do teina for free. Ella besachar, meaning you can get paid for it, but it is a mitzvah to get paid for that job. Rabbi Shimon Omer af liton bechinam, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, like most mitzvahs in the Torah, you got to do it for free. Meaning, te'ina is just like prika, that you can't demand payment for performing mitzvahs in the Torah. So, tanina la, this machlokas appears in a braisa. There you have it, straight out of the braisa. Why did the rabbanon hold the prika you do for free, and te'ina, you only have a chiyuv if the guy's offering to pay you? The isal kadaito, because if you can assume Rabbi Shimon, that te'ina is also something you have to do for free. So lichtav rachmana te'ina v'lo bayu prika. Let the Torah only tell me the mitzvah of te'ina, and it wouldn't need to tell me the mitzvah of prika, because I'd figure it out on my own. V'ana amina umatin las v'tzar b'alechayim. If te'ina, which doesn't have tzar b'alechayim, because there's no tzar b'alechayim because the masa on the behema is already there on the side of the road v'lekach chesron kis, and there's no loss of money because there's no the behema is not being broken from the weight of the burden, and nevertheless the Torah says chayiv, you have to be towing the masa on the behema. So prika disbatzar b'lechayim, prika where the behema is right now struggling with this burden on its back, v'chasrun kis, and the behema is being harmed by this. So lo kol shekein, all the more so you should have to help out for free. I mean, if you have to help load a package onto an animal for free, even though you're not protecting or saving the animal, there's no heroic act that you're doing. So kal v'chomer, when it's somewhat of a heroic act where you're helping to save the animal from suffering and from devaluation, of course you should be chayv to do that for free. So why does the Torah have to tell me the mitzvah of prika? To tell me that prika you got to do even for free, and tina you do besachar. V'Rabbi Shimon, my taima, and according to Rabbi Shimon, why is it that the Torah has to tell me both the mitzvahs of prika and tina? After all, couldn't it just tell me te'ina, and I would learn prika from it? No, mishum t'lo masami pray. Because if it only would have told me one of them, we already saw this in yesterday's daf, if it only would have told me one of them, it's difficult to tell from the psukim which pasuk is talking about prika, which is talking about te'ina. So if it only would have told me one of them, I would have assumed that that pasuk is about prika, and therefore I never would have known te'ina. In a chanami, if it would have spelled out te'ina explicitly, I would learn prika as a kal v'chom from that, but it doesn't spell it out explicitly. V'rabbanan, and the rabbanan would respond, amaylo masami pray, why do you assume that their psukim are not mefurash? Hachaksiv rovetz tachas masao. In Parshat Mishpatim it says rovetz tachas masao. That sounds like the behemoth is still under the weight of its burden, and therefore clearly it's talking about the mitzvah of unloading that burden. And Hasam in Sefer Devarim it says ksiv noflim baderech. It says that they're noflim baderech. The ramu inu to nayu burucha that mashma. It sounds like they and their burden are on the derech. So that must be that they're both on the derech, but they're not. One is not on top of the other one, so it's talking about the mitzvah of te'ina, to load it on the animal. Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon will say, noflim baderech inu v'tunayu levayu. No, noflim baderech inu v'tunayu levayu mashma. Noflim baderech sounds like the animal with its burden on its back, or noflim baderech, not the animal and next to it the burden, not the animal and the burden together. So it's very hard to tell which one is about prika, which one is about te'ina. Okay, so now the Gemara starts the sugya of tzar b'alechayim. The Gemara is mochiach that the issur tzar b'alechayim must be min haTorah, even according to Rabbi Shimon and according according to the Chachamim. Amar Rava, midivrei shneim nilmad. Both from the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, who say that it's more obvious that you're going to be mechayev a person in the mitzvah of prika than that you'll be mechayev in the mitzvah of tina. I mean, they both agreed in principle to that possible kal v'chomer, that if there's a mitzvah to load something onto an animal, of course there's going to be a mitzvah to unload something from an animal, because after all, tsar b'lechayim is a real concern. They both agreed. So from both of them, Nilmad, we learned tsar b'lechayim da'oraisa. The tsar b'lechayim is a concept mi da'oraisa. Because according to the Chum, if it only would have said the mitzvah of Tina, I would learn the mitzvah of Prika b'kal v'chomer from there. V'afilu Rabbi Shimon lo karmel mishum zol mesami krai. And even Rabbi Shimon only holds you need both psukim, because neither pasuk is explicit as to what it's talking about. Avol mesami krai, but had the psukim been a little more explicit about what they're talking about, tashin kal v'chomer, he would have made that kal v'chomer, that if you're chayiv in Tina, kal v'chomer you're chayiv in Prika. Mishum mai, and why is that a kal v'chomer? Lav mishum tzar b'lechayim darshinan. It must be that it's a kal v'chomer because of tzar b'lechayim, meaning that that if that which does not, if I have to do that which does not save an animal from tzar b'lechayim, then for sure I would have to do that which does save an animal from tzar b'lechayim. So it says, no, dilma mishum dika chesun kis. Maybe the kal v'chomer is not based on tzar b'lechayim, it's based on a hefsin mamon. V'hachi kamar, and this is what the Brice is saying from the kal v'chomer from prika to ti'ina. Umma ti'ina d'lesba chesun kis. Ti'ina, where there's no loss, because the behemoth is not being damaged if it's on the ground and the masa is right next to it. And nevertheless, chayiv, if you see it, you have to stand it up and load the burden onto the animal. So prika d'lesba chesun kis. Prika, which has a hefsin to the bailin, that the behemoth is breaking under the burden, lo kol shkein, that you have to help be porik the masa from on it. So since it's possible to that the kal v'chomer is all about chesrum kis, so you don't have any raya about tzar b'lechayim being min haTorah. It's all about whether it's the animal struggling and therefore the animal's breaking down. So it's a loss of value, it's a loss of money to the owner of that animal. So the Gemara says, nah, you can't say the kal v'chomer is because of chesrum kis. Uti'ina in b'chesrum kis, you want to tell me that ti'ina, the baal b'hema, doesn't have any chesrum kis? Milo askina, and aren't we talking about adahachi v'hachi, that while you're waiting for help, while the owner is waiting for help, and the animal is sitting there lying on the ground, batil mishuke, so the guy is not able to go to work, he's not able to go to the market and sell whatever it is that he's selling, because probably whatever is supposed to be on the animal's back is what he's supposed to be schlepping to the marketplace to be able to sell. That's a chesron kis. Inami, or it could also be that there's a chesron kis for another reason, because asuganvi v'shaklu kol madika badei, as long as you're still sitting there waiting for help, Ganavim could come and take whatever you have with you. So you can't say that Prika is more chumr than Ti'ina because there's Chesrun Kis, because by Ti'ina there's also Chesrun Kis. So therefore that brings us back that the Kal V'chomer must be that since Prika there's Tzar B'lechayim and by Ti'ina there's no Tzar B'lechayim, so that's the Raya that Tzar B'lechayim is Min HaTorah. That since both Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon are working with the assumption that there is a Kal V'chomer over here, and the Kal V'chomer can't be about Chesrun Kis, because there's chesrum kis in both directions, it must be that the only factor that allows for such a kal v'chomer is tzar b'lechayim. They're both assuming tzar b'lechayim is a thing, so they're both assuming tzar b'lechayim is the daraisa. So says Gemara, I'll prove weiter that tzar b'lechayim is daraisa. Teda. The tzar b'lechayim d'oraisa. Another right, tzar b'lechayim is d'oraisa. The katani seifa. See, the whole discussion is fascinating, right? We're bringing rayas from mishnayos. The tzar b'lechayim is d'oraisa. Normally, when you want to bring a raya that something is d'oraisa, the best thing to do is find me a pasuk. You know, bring a pasuk. There, Rav Asher Weiss points out that there are something like 13 shitos in Rishonim as to where in the Torah exactly we learn tzar b'lechayim from. 13 different shitos in Rishonim. So his mahalich is that what that tells you is that on the one hand there's nowhere explicit that it tells you that tzar b'lechayim is min haTorah. On the other hand, it's implicit everywhere, meaning that it's dotted all over the Torah that it's implicit that there's din of tzar b'lechayim. So he says that's the basis, that's a perfect example of Rav Elchanan Wasserman's concept of ratzon haTorah being a mechayiv midaraisa. That sometimes you don't have the classical psukim and drushes from psukim that lead to a din daraisa, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu just keeps dropping hints all over the Torah, and the chacham are supposed to figure out ratzon haTorah, and the Ratzon HaTorah is a Mechayev Mida Oraisa. So Tzar Ba'al Chaim would be such an example. But anyway, we bring another Braisa that's going to prove that Tzar Ba'al Chaim is Da Oraisa, the Ketani Seifa, or rather the Seifa of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Imhaya Olav Yesral Masod. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said in the Seifa of our Mishnah that if it was carrying a burden that was too big for it, Ein Zakukla, you don't have to help out. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Tachas Masa'o. Masoi Sheyachal Lamud Bo means a Masoi that's appropriate for it. Lav Mechlal de Tanakama Sover Zakuklo. It seems that the Tanakama didn't hold that way. Tanakama thought that you are chayiv in the mitzvah of prika. My time, why is it that they disagree with Rabbi Yossi? If it's because of the mitzvah of Zov Tazov, it says that Masa'o, so we could darshan Masa'o Ragubo. So Lav Misham de meaning is if on account of that, Lav Misham Tsar Ba'al Chaim Doraisa, isn't it correct to say that the reason is because Tsar Ba'al Chaim is Doraisa, and therefore even if the Baal HaChamor did something not right, he put too much of a burden on the animal. Yeah, but the animal's struggling, so you have an Indian, Tsar Ba'al Chaim, you have to help out. So over here we're bringing the Raya from the Shita that doesn't appear explicitly in the Mishnah. Meaning we have in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, if the guy overloaded his animal, it's not your problem, he did not write, and there's a pasuk that says there's not. But the Chacham apparently didn't agree with that. Why did the Chacham not agree with that? Because, yeah, the owner may be a terrible person, but the bottom line is the animal's suffering. And if the animal's suffering, your chiyuv is not so much Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, your chiyuv is Tsar Ba'al Chaim, so you got to help out the animal. So it says, no, Dilma, B'tachas Masa'u Pligi. Maybe they're arguing about how to darshan the words, Tachas Masa'u. Rabbi Yossi Savar Darshin and Tachas Masa'u, Masa'u Shiach Alamud Bo. Rabban Savar Lord Darshin and Tachas Masa'u. The Rabban just don't think that the phrase Tachas Masa'u means that it has to be a Masa'u that is able to be Omid Bo. They understand the Pasuk that any Masa'u that's on it, you have to help out. Meaning it's Tachas Masa'u. Masa'u means whatever it happens to be holding. And therefore, the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon hold that you need to help out, even if the Baal HaChamor puts the Chachamim of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yossi, hold that you have to help out, even if it's not the right burden on the animal. But not because of Tsar Ba'al Chaim Doraisa, but because of the Pasuk. Teda, and I'll bring a raya that this is the base of the Machlok. Teda, Tsar Ba'al Chaim Lav Doraisa, that Tsar Ba'al Chaim must not be Doraisa, the Ketani Reisha, because the Reisha in the Mishnah says, Halach V'yashav Lo, if the Baal HaChamor goes and sits and starts sipping his pina colada, V'homer Lo, Hol V'alecha Mitzvah Lifrok Prok, you have a mitzvah to unload the animal, so you go take care of it. Potter, you do not have to do it. Shenemar imo, because the pasuk says azov tazov imo to help him, but he's got to be helping also. V'isal kadai tzar ben chaim daraisa. But if you hold that it's all about tzar ben chaim daraisa, that there's a din of tzar ben chaim, and you cannot allow the animal to suffer, well then mali you say the maribade mali kilesi the maribade. What difference does it make whether the owner of the animal is willing to help? The animal's suffering, so you should have to do something. Says Mar, no, the old tzar ben chaim daraisa. That's not really a raya. Tzar ben chaim might be daraisa. Savrit Pater, Pater the Gamri. Do you think when it says Pater in the Mishnah, it means that you're totally Pater if the guy is not helping out? V'dilma Pater b'chinam v'chayiv b'sachar. Maybe it just means you don't have to do it for free. You could charge him afterwards. V'achy kam rachman kiyis the maribadei avad gabei b'chinam. When the owner is helping you out, so then you got to help him for free. V'chilesi the maribadei avad gabei b'sachar. But if he's not helping you out, then you could charge him. But yalom tzar b'lechayim daraisa. But you still do have to make sure that the animal is taken care of because tzar b'lechayim is daraisa. So now, Simon Behemoth, Behemoth, Oiv Soni Ravtsan. We're going to bring a whole bunch of rayas, whether Tzar Ba'al Chaim is Doraisa or not, and that's the Simon for the rayas we're about to bring. So, Leim Mesayele, we have a Braisa. That's a raya that Tzar Ba'al Chaim is Doraisa. Behemoth of Chavim, if a Behemoth of Chavim is breaking down under its burden, mitapulba, you help out to unload it, ke Behemoth Yisrael, just like you would for a Behemoth Yisrael. Well, yeah, B'shom Tzar Ba'al Chaim Doraisa, Mishmachim, mitapulba, ke Behemoth Yisrael. If it's about the animal, then I don't care who the owner of the animal is, Tzar Ba'al Chaim Doraisa, you gotta help the animal. Eliyam, Tzar Ba'al Chaim, love Doraisa, but if Tzar Ba'al Chaim is not Doraisa, the mitzvah of Prika is about the owner of the animal, Amai mitapulba, ke Behemoth Yisrael, then why would you have such a din? All dinim of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are only applied to Yisrael. They don't apply to Ovdik Chavim, right? The assumption is that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro works with the concept of reciprocity, that whatever you'd expect they would do for you, you have to do for them. So anything that's just basic to the basic functioning of society and culture, like not allowed to steal and things like that, so that's certainly you're not allowed to do for a Jew or a non-Jew. But things like Bikur Cholim and Nichum Aveilim and things like that, where you would never expect the guy to do for you, so then you don't do for him either. either. So there's no mitzvah bin al mechavero. So says Mar, no, hasam yishum eva. Maybe not a mitzvah bin al mechavero, but it's the wisest thing to do because it will create a sense of animosity between the Jews and the non-Jews. Hachinam mistabri tiktani maisutun yayin aser. If the behema of a guy was schlepping yayin nesach, ein zakukla. You don't have to help him be porik that masa. Iam bishlam lav da raisa mishmachi ein zakukla. If sabri lechaim is not da raisa, I get why you don't have to help him. Eli amr da raisa mayin zakukla. But if you got to take care of the animal, then why don't you have to help? So hachikamar ulatina yayin aser ein zakukla. To upload the burden on the animal, that you don't have to help, because by ti'ino there's no tsar b'alei chayim. But if the behemoth of the guy was no feltachas masa, then you need to help the animal out because it's tsar b'alei chayim. So Tashma says Gemara will bring another raya. Behemoth of chavim masu Yisrael. If it's a behemoth of chavim, but the burden that it's carrying belongs to Yisrael, so the pasuk says v'chadalta. So if the behemoth belongs to a guy, that's where it says v'chadalta, that you don't have to help it. Yam tsar b'alei chayim doraisa amai v'chadalta azov. Why do we say you don't have to help him? We should darshan azov tazov, that you have to help out the guy because of the tsar of the behema. And if you don't help him out, it's going to so it must be that a tsar bel chayim is not daraisa, because otherwise it's a violation of tsar bel chayim. So it says more liolam tsar bel chayim daraisa and hasam b'ti'ina. Really, tsar bel chayim is daraisa. Over there, the help that the guy is looking for is not to unload the animal; it's to load the animal. So you're not helping in the tsar bel chayim. If that's the case, that we're talking about ti'ina, where there is no tsar b'alei chayim, ema seifa, then the seifa of the Brisa says behemas yisrael masay ovid chavim. That if it was the reverse, if the behema belonged to a Jew and the masay belonged to an ovid chavim, azov tazov, meaning you should help. V'ibet ti'ina, but if we're talking about ti'ina, amay azov tazov, why should you help? There's no tsar b'alei chayim. So it says more mishum tsar di yisrael. It's because of the tsar of the yisrael, who's the owner of the behema, that he's going to have to wait with his behema so long as this masa is not on the behema. So then even in the case of the Resha, where the behemoth belongs to a guy and the Malasa belongs to Yisrael, you should be chayiv to help because of the Tsar of the Yisrael, who's being delayed in going on with his day. So it says, Resha bechamar ovid chavim, that the guy who's hired to lead the donkey is an ovid chavim, and the balamas is Yisrael, but he's not there. So it's not delaying his day at all. Seifa bechamar Yisrael. And the Seifa is talking about where the guy leading the donkey is Yisrael. Well, my pasakta, how do you know that? Some of the bills, inish basar chamrei azel. The derech klal, person goes with his chamar. So the ratio was talking about a behem of a guy. So minastam, it's the guy that's leading the animal. The sefer was talking about the behem of Yisrael. So minastam, it's Yisrael that's leading the animal. Okay, but we'll continue in that conversation tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.